we beat heads and knocked costs did all the we rearranged some of the steps in the financing to solve that problem. It wasn't easy.
Was it 20 million? Was the gap?
Yeah, we had about that in a shortfall.
Uh-huh. And do you have any? Do you recall like how that gap got filled? Like where the concessions?
We got concessions from the various contractors.
Do you remember the amounts on them?
Not by individually. No, I can't.
Well, I remember one article in the paper that covered briefly, and I just never figured that out. I guess the current question is, when do you think that APC is going to act? Do you have any feedback from them?
I think this summer. Yeah, they're scheduled to start the hearings on it in May. And I think they'll be done by September.
There's no indication you've gotten from their staff or anything as to which direction they're going to go or particular new problems?
6 months ago, I was not optimistic. Today, I'm of the opinion based on what we're getting now that it's not going to be a problem. The biggest problem with APUC had to do with the pre-existing FERC permit of Healy Power, which was an outfit from outside Alaska that had gotten a FERC permit, in effect had a prior right to build a power plant at Healy. Since last summer, they've stepped aside and in effect have let Ada take their first position while they have stepped back to a second position, so that at the time the next power plant is built in Healy, they will still have that right. And that satisfied most of APUC's concerns, because they were concerned about giving Ada and Golden Valley permission to build this power plant when there was somebody here with the legal right to do so. Their name was Healy Power. That was just a trade name. The individual was an attorney out of Portland, Montana, who sort of has done that. He sort of specializes in doing that sort of thing. So it was not, I thought at one point that we would never survive, never solve that problem, because all he had to do was sit there in the way and would be, we thought he was perhaps going to blackmail us. So, okay, if you want to go, give me X dollars and we'll do this, but he didn't do that. So I was pleased with that outcome.
So there's no cloud at all?
No. We're satisfied with the situation, and APUC is too, and that's why I don't foresee a lot of problem with APUC.
Yeah. This whole, we aren't going to, I don't want to go too much farther with this one, because there's a lot of controversy there. There's a lot of, but just so you know what happened with Anchorage Lakes, I think a lot of us, speaking only for myself, I wasn't particularly aware of the, and our utility didn't make much of an effort to get across to us what this project meant to Anchorage at the time we were talking about, which I think was in 90. Since then, we've been informed by Chugach Electric that the completion of this project means an increase in the rates paid by Anchorage ratepayers, which probably should have been obvious to us from the beginning. But it wasn't, because we do depend on the utilities to...
That will be, that'll be several years down the road, because this doesn't come online.
It's just, it's
97, but.
I just want you to know where a lot of us coming from is, that it's been really hard to determine the benefit for this, because once you take away the federal funds, it's obviously a completely marginal project.
It's not even viable.
Right. So
it's not just marginal.
Right.
You take away $94 right. million dollars from this project, and it doesn't work.
And so we add it in, and we end up making a conclusion. But in the cost side, it's easy to figure out. It's a relatively low amount, considering the amount of federal money we're getting in. But it's been really hard for some of us to figure out the benefits of it. And, I know it's complicated. I don't expect you to summarize in a minute. But that's the problem a lot of us face is, who's really getting much out of it? So I do agree if we can produce something for clean coal technology, great. But how it helps us, it's a little tougher to pin down.
I think the long-range benefit is the additional availability of electric energy. And when you put that together with the existing facilities and future demand for power, if as and when Alaska continues to need more power, that it will, you know, by the time, I think by the time it comes online, everybody will say, wow, I'm sure glad we did that. You know, it's the advanced planning and the advanced provision of power that seems always to be the toughest, along with a lot of other things like roads and
But do you think we'll need that, when it comes online, will we need that much power at that point? And at that point, will we then have to fix it? I mean, are the lines old, or will they need upgrading by the time we need that additional power?
I'm sure they're, yeah, but that'll be Golden Valley Electric's responsibility, or possibly part of the rail belt intertie. But you're right. Those improvements will need to be done no matter what power is transmitted over them.
Oh, I see. Whether the existing lines.
It's a very complicated. It's also been presented to us that we will reduce our liability for upkeep of lines if the project is completed, because what the project does is it reduces the transfer of power. As soon as you complete Healy, we stop sending so much up the existing intertie.
That's right.
So all of a sudden you've got more capacity out there.
Okay.
You know, there may be a day they're sending it down. We have such a massive surplus in Anchorage that they
would send it up.
Not foreseeable.
Well, in fairness, I think we have to recognize that right now Anchorage is selling Fairbanks power and making a profit on it. And the reason Anchorage rates will go up is that Anchorage won't be making a profit on the power they're selling to Fairbanks. I don't know how you evaluate that, but it's a part of a total state complex, it seems to me. If you can take the broader view, it's much more comforting.
And I think you're right. And I think you pinned it down. It's a projection on what our population is going to be.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of us who aren't, it's easy to be pessimistic these days on population projections. There's a whole lot of reasons to do that. Certainly the projections we were using, 6 or 7 years ago really are obsolete these days. We don't have what we used to have, but we haven't lived up to even the old projections.
I'm not convinced that population is going to drive the need for power. My own view is that Alaska's economic future is dependent on the utilization of its resources, not on building big populations. I've never believed, and I still don't, that Alaska's population will ever reach 1 million people. And I don't think it's necessary that it do that, because what we can do in Alaska to develop what we have can be done with machines and power and energy. And there's no reason why our lifestyle and the people and our environment can't be virtually unchanged from what it is today if we wisely develop that way. Just a personal thing.
Great, thanks. That's all my questions.
Let's see. Go on. By the way, I can send you a comparison. You'll find at the end of the Healy section how the current projection of sources and uses of funds. I'll send you the old one, which will show you where the differences were. That'd be the simplest way, I think, for you to look at it.
That'd be helpful.
We, as you know, are just about to get the final report on the looking at the spaceport idea in Poker Flat. And interestingly enough, that project looks as though it could make some sense. The economic projection. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I when you said it was like you were surprised.
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I didn't exactly grow up with rocket ships, except through reading Buck Rogers. So. And the commercial use of space is very new, but the more I learn about it, the more excited I am about it. I will be, by the way, somewhat surprised if Ada actually ends up doing this project. I think it's probably, and we haven't gotten it sorted out yet, it's probably more logical that the new spaceport authority in conjunction with some kind of partnership with the University of Alaska Geophysical Institute, probably the logical developer for this project.
Do they have authority to issue bonds?
Yeah, Spaceport Authority has authority to issue bonds.
I guess they would.
Again, subject to your approval.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and that will, our role in this, we felt, is to get it this far. I think a great part of AIDA's function is to have an entity in the state that can actually look at feasibility without having to go through a complicated process to do it. You know, for instance, getting a bill in front of the legislature to appropriate X dollars to look at it. Everybody wants to do it, but it takes so much time to do it that having an entity like AIDA that nevertheless is responsible for the government, it seems to me is logical. That's been my view since I've been at AIDA. Anyway, you'll be hearing more as that project develops. We have, going on to Fire Island, we have a peer review group impaneled. They will meet, I don't have that date with me, but in the next week or two, we'll meet and review the report that was done on Fire Island and evaluate by different expert opinions what they think about it. I've mentioned to a couple of you already, I don't think haven't had a chance to express it. I think Fire Island is another opportunity where AIDA is an entity that's able to look at the feasibility of something that people have been looking at for years. I personally don't believe that it makes a lot of logic to try to do that now in recognizing the condition of the state, because my own view is that the port facility itself on Fire Island would be a viable entity, but it can't also pay for the costs of access to Fire Island. You build a road someplace, the facility, the hotel at the end of the road doesn't pay for the road. The government pays for the road as part of the infrastructure, and the principle is no different. You wouldn't expect to have the Mount McKinley Hotel pay for the cost of the highway between here and the hotel, and that's an extreme example, but that's the illustration I'm trying to make. And I think that's what will make Fire Island not feasible, and simply the availability of funds to gain access to Fire Island. Now, there are some other objections to it which we're well aware of, and which I have some personal concerns about, and that is how you move large amounts of freight through what is an existing residential area. I think that's very, very tough to sell, and I understand that. But nevertheless, I still think it was a project that was worth doing and a feasibility study worth doing. And we'll have a final report for you by the end of March, I'd say.
And will it be before then that you'll have the results of the peer group review?
Oh yes, that will conclude our work by the time.
I guess
we'll do some public hearings on that.
Can we get that report? From
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But anything you can do to get us that results of the peer group report, even if you don't have the final report completed, I mean, I'm sure there'll be, you know, it's going to be a big story in the paper as well when that occurs. But the as soon as you can do that, especially if it can be prior to the end of March, would be very helpful.
My plan is as soon as we have even a draft, I want to send a copy to each legislator, because I know I realize that everybody is concerned about it. I understand that.
Right. Now, just this whole issue of who pays for the access, what do we do in the case of Red Dog? The way Red Dog works, that we essentially build it with them repaying the cost.
Well, but the interesting thing is that project, the mine is so rich. That's a world-class lead zinc mine. When when ships start loading in the spring, the ore that's been mined all winter, the world zinc market trembles. It's that big a project. And the fact of the matter is that that is such a rich resource that it's able to pay for the road.
Well, I guess the point I'm getting at is this is a continuing debate within the legislature. What is the appropriate role? Should government be paying for access to resources? Obviously, if you'd say, talk about the Parks Highway, the hotel on, we do pay for the access to Park Highway because it serves lots of purpose. But when you've got a side road that goes up to a particular development, and that's the only thing up there, do we pay for it? Do they pay for it? That is a constant debate here on every issue we face.
Yeah.
We faced it last year in electric service extension lines. When you build lines to someone's house, electricity, which is a relatively basic service, is that our responsibility or theirs? We decided then it was 50-50. We built a 50-50 system. I just don't agree. It's inherent in a development project that we pay the transportation costs to for the access there.
Oh, I don't.
And they don't. I think you might well come to the opposite conclusion here, that there's nobody who's going to want to drive. There's little public access provided for besides the benefits to the project participants, and that it primarily ought to be their responsibility. I'm not going to drive out to fire and go fishing, I'll tell you that.
Right. No, I understand. But the port facility is a little different than a productive mine.
Right. No, I agree. And if we've got a variety of users out there, you're right. That's a good point. It's just a very, we argue this thing every time we face it, and it always ends up in the middle somewhere.
I guess what I really would like for you to understand is that that every one of the things that Ada's ever done is different. No one set of principles or agreements or plans will work the same on every one. Red Dog is different from Skagway, is different from Unalaska, is different from all of these things. And you have to apply the logic and the good business principles to each of them in its own particular specialty, in order to come up with any kind of a reasonable solution. Put another way, there is no single set of principles that will apply to everything. You have to use them and use them intelligently, and we like to believe that's the way we work.
Right, that's fine. We obviously got fair amount to go through. I promised the committee we'd be out of here by 3.
All right.
We had one person want to testify. Let me see if she wanted to offer any brief comments. Mara, do you want to offer any brief comments at this point?
Well, it's not really on this. It's more to do with the bill, so I can.
Okay, it's your choice. If you want to wait, that'd be fine. Well, then we have a couple more minutes. Anything you could finish up on the Northwest Alaska Resource Development and the Ketchikan Shipyard will be at least through that portion.
That resource development study, you appropriated $200,000 to us, and we've contracted that study, and it'll be done next fall. So we'll keep you advised on that. There isn't, I don't have anything to report because we've just started.
Great.
Ketchikan Shipyard, we were asked to look at that. We've done the study. We're presently exploring the specific manner in which we would get somebody to manage that thing. We don't want to manage it. Matter of fact, we won't. It will also require the Department of Transportation to deed that facility to us so that we have control, total control of it. And that's another set of problems, and we'll be back to you for that. So I think Ketchikan Shipyard, I can just tell you that we think we have a viable plan worked out that will work economically, but we're going to have to fit the necessary people and entities together and get them in agreement before we can come back to you with a sensible plan. I really want to do that this session, because that shipyard is once you shut something down, it's tough to bring it back up. So we'll keep going with you on that.
Okay, well, I appreciate your spending time with us today. It's really helpful. I've gotten a lot out of it. So.
Good. Anytime you would like to do a work session or have me or any of my people down, we'll be, we're always pleased to talk with you.
Great, we'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Adjourned.
We'll start feeding.